Thank you for joining us today on The Sword and Trowel. On this episode, Graham and I talk about family life, and we announce a conference that's coming up here in Cape Coral in July of 2024, because it's important for us to understand what the Bible says about the family, this first government that God instituted in creation. So join us today and learn with us. Welcome to The Sword and Trowel. The Sword and Trowel is a podcast of Founders Ministries. Founders exists for the recovery of the gospel and the reformation of local churches. I'm Tom Askell.
And I'm Graham Gundin.
We're delighted to have you join us today on this episode of The Sword and Trowel, which is what number episode? Do we know?
No idea.
It's like 15, 17, 400, 300 or so. We're going to find out, and we will announce that, and maybe we'll have some kind of celebration or giveaway or something like that.
I will celebrate.
You'll celebrate. I will too. Be amazed that we've made it this long. But we're glad to have you here today. Graham and I want to talk about something that we talk about frequently in our church. Our elders have been thinking through this more carefully, I would say, over the last year, 2 years. Mm-hmm. We try regularly in our church to address specific issues related to the family and family life. One of the things we've been doing for, I don't know how many years, 10 years, maybe 8 to 10 years, is quarterly having times where we speak specifically on manhood and womanhood, what the Bible says about men, what the Bible says about women, and the fact that men are not women, women are not men. I mean, it's basics that 50 years ago, 100 years ago, nobody would even bat an eye. They say, well, why are you wasting time?
It's amazing how much time we spend talking about and demonstrating and proving that men and women are different. It's nuts.
That's right. And it's good to be a man and it's good to be a woman.
Yeah.
And women shouldn't begrudge the fact that they're not men, nor men begrudge the fact they're not women. And just because you're a man and you can't have a baby doesn't mean that you should go through all kind of psychological hoops and maybe medical hoops in order to try to have one. And mm-hmm. just because you're a woman and you can't do what men do, you shouldn't do the same. And yet our world today tells us, no, those are social constructs. Mm-hmm. And yes, there's some who are still allowing that sex is something you're born with, but gender is something that you determine or mm-hmm. that is in you that you live out. And so you might be born a female, but a man trapped in a woman's body. It's been variously described. And because of that, the whole reality of what God designed men and women to be, both individually in and of themselves, and then collectively in relationship to one another, it's just under attack.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you're a real rock-ribbed, hardcore conservative, you can recognize the fact that there are physical differences between men and women. But if you go any further than that, boy, oh boy.
Or if you got two eyes and, you know, you think, And but even saying things like that today can get you in trouble in mm-hmm. certain circles. And we've seen it where people... You know, you misgendered me, and so you're literally killing me. Mm-hmm. You're denying my existence by not admitting that I'm a man, even though I was born female. And if you refuse to acknowledge that, then that's a crime mm-hmm. against humanity.
Well, you know, it's interesting on this issue in our school in which I teach theology. We've been talking about, you know, human sexuality and our world's understanding of what sexuality is. And we've seen that, you know, for instance, people like Margaret Sanger and others who are on the far left pushing sexual revolutionary ideas, that they really do, and somebody's made this point, that the people on the far left in the sexual revolution have replaced the word and the idea of the soul with sexual identity. Mm. Sexual identity now is who you are on the inside. Sexual identity is who you are at your core. How you identify and how you express yourself sexually is you. And so when you deny someone's sexual identity, what you're doing is you're denying the very existence of their soul, what we would normally have thought of as a soul in ages past. And so for them, yeah, absolutely. It is a destructive thing to disagree with their own sexual expression.
Yeah. And so how do we respond to that? I mean, how do you navigate life in this kind of world? And we've thought about that a lot. We're thinking about it regularly, and we're wanting to address it more. In fact, so much so that we're going to have a regional founders conference coming up in July right here in Cape Coral, Florida. It'll be hosted at Grace Baptist Church. And the theme is going to be family life in the negative world. Mm. And we'll put information about this out there for you, encourage you to come participate in this, because we're wanting to zero in on some of the things the Bible teaches, has always taught, that was these things were more readily noticeable in different contexts where the Word of God had permeated culture more so than it has today, and where we've seen now that that's been receding, and those very basic ideas that 100, 200 years ago in our culture, nobody would have debated, are now offensive.
Yeah.
And we need to figure out the best way forward for the church, for individual Christians, and for families and those who are married and unmarried to navigate this negative world, as Aaron Wren calls it.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting that, you know, Christians have a particular understanding of what the family is, what man and woman is, what husband, wife, father, mother, child is, derived from, you know, God's very revelation to us. But the contemporary paganism also has their understanding of what a family is and what a man or a woman is or is not. And in this holy war between religions, in this battle between paganism and Christianity that we're in right now, this is where the battle is raging, probably the hottest. There are certainly other battles that need to be fought, but there is a continual push from the pagan left to destroy this understanding and this idea of the family that we have held for centuries in the West, but that we understand from the scriptures to be the way that God desires us to see the family.
Yeah. So what do you do? What's the church to do? How do you accommodate the spirit of the age, or do you accommodate it at all? Or do you just kind of close the shutters and say, well, me and mine and ours, we're just going to live this way and try to block out the outside world? Mm-hmm. Or do you declare war on the outside world that is undermining these basic understandings of God's word about what a man is, what a woman is, what a child is, and what a family is? B.B. Warfield, I think it was, who called the family the first government. God ordained the first government in his world to be a man and a woman in a covenanted relationship that would be fruitful and would multiply and would fill the earth with image bearers of God. Well, that idea today is not only dismissed, but it's considered offensive. Mm-hmm. And it's considered something that if you promote and if you teach that this is normative, this is what God intends, then you are a part of some kind of malicious effort to dehumanize those who do not agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's a multi-pronged attack, because not only do you see it on the, you know, the homosexual side, in which they're trying to erase the meaning of marriage between as a union between one man and one woman, but it really can be between anyone.
Yep.
That a marriage is basically devoid of meaning now.
That's right.
In our society. And then also this this erasure of what it means to be a woman or what it means to be a man in the transgender ideology, that's another prong attack on this idea of the family. But then there's also just, you know, the disdain that our society has for children. You know, the dual income, no kids seems to be like the epitome of what we are aiming for in our society. Kids are such a drag. The abortion issue. And then even those who have families and love their families, you know, fathers not taking responsibility to lead their families, mothers not nurturing and caring for their families, giving their children just over to the state for the state to raise them. I mean, there's so many issues at play when we think about the family. And it's so easy for us to to focus on one thing and think we're doing well. Hey, you know, I'm really opposing this transgenderism. I'm not going to let them trans my kids. Mm. Meanwhile, we're allowing the state to turn our children into pagans.
Right.
And so we need to be thoughtful about all of these things and understand that God has placed all of us in families, whatever our station in that family is, mm-hmm. And we are to honor God in every area of life that he has placed us.
Yeah, and the church needs to recognize this and not back away from what the Bible teaches, even though in our day and age it's going to be very offensive. It's going to not only be countercultural, but it's going to be regarded as something that is violently opposed mm-hmm. to the spirit of the age. So we've seen this, and just we talked about it publicly, and we've had a whole conference on what is man. What is a man? What does the Bible say about that? And we've seen it with the questions of, okay, what constitutes a woman, you know, or what is a child? And all of those boundaries that God established in his world as our creator are being erased now. The Supreme Court has promoted this erasure as well. Mm-hmm. And even now with Obergefell, I think it was like the day after Obergefell, the minor attracted persons, which we used to call pedophiles, mm-hmm. began to make their argument. Well, look, the same legal rationale mm-hmm. for this marriage between a man and a man and a woman, so-called, could apply to us because we were born this way and there's nothing inherently wrong or illegal or immoral about being attracted to a minor. And our culture is just going at breakneck speed down that road. So the church has got to be clear-minded, which means mm-hmm. we need to shut our ears to everything in the world and get alone with God and his word and just spend a week and just pore over the scriptures and write down, okay, what does God say mm-hmm. we ought to be as creatures made in his image? As mm-hmm. a man, what should I be? As a woman? I mean, just try to do that. And when you get that, then you can open your ears again and look around and say, okay, we're in enemy territory, so mm-hmm. how do we proclaim what God says in the midst of a culture that is increasingly dark, and yet we've got the light, and we're to shine, and we're to represent Christ well, and do so knowing that this is the most loving thing we can do for mm-hmm. our fellow image bearers, because they're enslaved, they're entrapped, and their own a pathway that is taking them at breakneck speed into hell and misery and away from God. Mm-hmm. And if we love them, then we're not going to sit idly by yeah. and just let it happen.
Thank you for joining us today for this conversation on the sword and the trowel. I wanted to make you aware and give you some more details on the regional conference that we are going to be having coming up here this July. That's July 26th and 27th, and it is the conference on family life in the negative world. Pastor Tom Askell, Dr. Joel Beakey, and myself will all be there speaking for that conference. It's going to be a wonderful time. You can go to founders.org/family life in order to register for that conference. It's just a shorter conference, a regional conference. It's just 2 days, but it's going to be a wonderful time of fellowship and thinking about what God has to say to us when it comes to how we are to live in families, be family members, and raise our families in an increasingly hostile world. So at this conference, we're going to be talking about the family in mm-hmm. the negative world generally, but what particular topics are we going to be addressing?
Well, we're going to be talking about marriage, fundamentally, because again, that's the first government and that's what God established in the created world. I mean, when he gave Eve to Adam, he created Eve for Adam and brought them together. I mean, Adam celebrated it, and that provided the mechanism whereby the initial commission that was given to them to multiply and fill the earth could be carried out. I mean, mm-hmm. Adam couldn't do that without Eve. And so we'll be talking about marriage, just the foundational nature of marriage, and then also the way that marriage was designed by God, according to Paul, to reflect the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is not some arbitrary relationship. Mm-hmm. This is something that comes from the very mind of God into the world that he created in order to tell a greater story than the individual relationship between that man and woman mm-hmm. in marriage. We've talked about parenting and children, how to think about children, what it means to parent children in a world that is coming for your kids. You know, we had it right here Sunday morning, on a recent Sunday morning, while we were worshiping, Cape Coral, downtown Cape Coral, had a what they called a pride parade, where mm-hmm. homosexuals were out there doing what they do publicly in such occasions. And a special guest was a drag queen, an award-winning drag queen. And they made a big deal. This is family-friendly. You know, bring your children.
Yeah, this is Cape Coral,
Cape
Florida.
Cape Coral, Florida.
It's one of the most conservative parts of the country.
That's right. 100 years ago, people in that parade would have been arrested
mm-hmm.
and put under the jail. And the question needs to be asked, well, okay, was that wrong 100 years ago? Mm-hmm. Are we wrong today? So how do we disciple our children? How do we care for our children? How do we equip our children in a world that's coming after them? What do we do? Well, we better go back to the Word and see how to handle that. Another thing we're going to be dealing with is being unmarried mm-hmm. in the world. I mean, we have a whole category that we've created in our culture of singleness.
Yeah.
It's not a category in the Bible.
Right.
The Bible's category is unmarried,
yep.
widows, widowers. And so what does the Scripture say about a person who is unmarried? How should you be thinking? What should you be doing now? What should your aspirations be? And we want to deal with the Scripture on these things. And not in any kind of fearful way. But man, I'm very hopeful. I mean, in a sense, you look around and you think, okay, what are the needs in our world today as it comes to teaching on the Bible? And you just close your eyes, throw a rock, you're going to hit an area that needs the kind of instruction that the Word of God gives us.
Mm-hmm. So the conference on the family, July 26th and 27th of in this summer, who's going to be there? Who's speaking?
Well, Joel Beakey will be coming to be with us. And man, if you know anything about Dr. Beakey, you know this is his wheelhouse.
Yeah.
The last 15 years or so, he and I were talking about this recently. He told me that that's been the time that he's produced more of the materials on family life and raising children than ever before in his ministry. And so this is fresh. So he will mm-hmm. be there. You're going to be there. You'll mm-hmm. be speaking. I'll be speaking. And then one of the things we've got planned is a panel where Joel and his wife and me and my wife will be a part of a conversation. And we'll mm-hmm. probably ask you to moderate that, you know, and just talk about we're both, you know, way past the child rearing years and have grandchildren now, but just to begin to think about family life and what we've lived through, and look forward to having that opportunity as well.
Mm. Yeah. It's going to be a great time. And as you say, like you could throw a dart and hit an issue that really needs to be addressed, but this is an issue that touches on every single Christian. Every single Christian is in a family, and it is an issue that is so fiercely mm-hmm. under attack. And it, as long as you try to live faithfully to God in your family life in this negative world, you're putting yourself in the crosshairs.
Absolutely. And I fear that a lot of our Christian leaders, they just haven't awakened yet. There's more and more of them all the time mm-hmm. to what is going on in our culture, and to realizing that we are under attack. The ways of Christ are under attack. That's always true, always been true. I get that. But in ways that we haven't seen before. And if you're not aware of those ways and what is happening, you will just be drifting along and thinking, well, okay, you know, well, this is what it means to live in a an enlightenment world where all things are equal and where there's nothing that has religious power in play. You know, it's all just secular, and that's what it means to be an American, and yada, yada, yada. And that is completely naive.
Mm-hmm.
I remember recently in talking in one of our manhood meetings with our men, I talked about feminism and how feminism has intentionally come into our world. And people who study this, you know, say that you can break it down into three waves or maybe four waves, and we might be in the fourth one now, but mostly it's the third wave feminism that's coming to roost now, that began in the sexual revolution era, and how we are navigating that today. Well, I read a portion of an article that a woman by the name of Mallory Millett wrote about her sister, Kate Millett, was one of the key leaders in this wave of feminism that came out of the sexual revolution, and was intentional on trying to overthrow what they called the patriarchy. Mm-hmm. And so Mallory had married a guy, a business guy, and went to Eastern Europe, and she tells this in other places about how her life was miserable, and she was mistreated by her husband, and she was in these countries where there's no freedom. And when she finally was able to get free with her child and come back to the United States, she said when she got off the plane, she kissed the ground. Mm. You know, just so grateful. So this is 1967, 68, something like that. And her sister was living in New York, Kate Millett, and invited her to come live with her. So she goes and lives with her sister, and she's invited to one of these consciousness raising groups one night where Kate has these women come in, and they sit around a table, a dining room table, and they begin this meeting of promoting what had just recently been created as the National Organization of Women and how they're going to transform the culture. And so she says, let me just read this to you. She said, we got gathered around a table as the chairperson opened the meeting with a back and forth recitation, what we'd call a catechism. Mm-hmm. And she said it was like a litany, like a type of prayer done in the Catholic Church, which she was raised Catholic. She said, but now it was Marxism, the church of the left, mimicking the religious practice. Well, here's the catechism. Why are we here today? And the answer, to make revolution. What kind of revolution? The cultural revolution. And how do we make cultural revolution? By destroying the American family. How do we destroy the American family? By destroying the American patriarch. And how do we destroy the American patriarch? By taking away his power. How do we do that? By destroying monogamy. And how can we destroy monogamy? And Mallory, at this point, she inserts, she said, my breath was taken away at the next answer. She said, here's the answer, by promoting promiscuity, eroticism, prostitution, and homosexuality. Mm. 1969. Mm-hmm. Consciousness raising group to promote the advance of feminism in our culture. Mm-hmm. You look at that and you want to say, congratulations.
Yeah.
They've done it. We are in a war. And these are some of the early tactics that, you know, now are public, of those who are coming after the very things that God has revealed in his word to be basic for humanity, what a man is, what a woman is, what a family is, how we're to live. And everybody has been affected by it. There's nobody that has not been breathing this air over the last 100 years. So what do? Well, we don't just give up, and we don't give in, and we don't just declare, a massive all-out shredding of everything that's in the world. But we have to take the word of God and say, no, it's not true. This is what's true. This is what God says.
Yeah, and we have to be careful to, as we address these things and as we do go to war against these things and defend our religion and defend our families against these things, that we don't react in inappropriate ways or unhealthy ways, and that we don't promote and present problems that we're going to have to deal with down the road because we overreacted in some ways or misreacted in other ways.
Yeah, and that's a challenge because there are some who see this, and praise God, they see it, and they feel like they've been manipulated, lied to, and especially a lot of younger men, and praise the Lord, they're waking up to it, younger women. But there's almost a scorched earth policy in their mind. And so everything is bad that's been taught to us or that, you know, people who have taught it over the last 50 years. And that's where I think a lot of the mistakes by well-intentioned, but men needing far more experience than they currently have, who are trying to speak out on these things and wind up speaking out in ways that just give more ammunition to the enemy to say, oh, well, that's what you're wanting us to go to? No thanks. And no, we have the Bible, so we don't have to make it up. And we cannot resort to unbelieving tactics. We can't say, well, you know, we're not going to call sin sin because it's being committed by those on the right. Mm-hmm. And they're closer to us. And look at the good things they're doing. They're promoting women staying at home, men going out in the workforce. And so whenever they do sinful things and call for sinful actions, we're just going to be quiet on that because look at all the good they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're operating on some principle other than the one that I want to operate on because right. God's given us the word. And we can celebrate every good thing while renouncing everything contrary to his word without doing, quote, damage to our cause.
Yeah.
If you have a cause that makes you stay silent in the face of blatant disregard for God's word, get rid of it if you're a Christian. That's not the cause that God's given us in his word. It's not the cause for which Jesus Christ died. Christ is truth incarnate. He tells us to be people of truth. We're to live by the truth. And we should do that knowing that that's going to necessarily put us on a pathway where we're going to need to be corrected ourselves by the truth and be willing to correct others because we're not wiser than God.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we hope to do in this conference.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. You know, I think there's a... In so many ways, our culture, you know, they have erased their own families, people in pagan culture today. But you can't have a culture, you can't have a society without families. And there are families that do exist. There are families. And so they need those families.
That's right.
They're going to go after our families.
That's right. That's right. And we shouldn't be ashamed of trying to live according to the word in family relationships. You shouldn't be ashamed if you're an unmarried person that aspires to be married. That's right. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't be ashamed if you are a married couple and you're struggling in areas and you're trying to work those things out. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't be ashamed if you are the product or a participant in a broken marriage, in a broken family. No family gets through life in this fallen world without scars and without things that are not the way they're supposed to be. And so what we do in the midst of all of that is remember we have a Savior, that Jesus Christ came into the world for real sinners. And so when real sinners say I do to each other and enter into a marriage, it's not going to be a utopian relationship. Mm-hmm. There's going to be issues, and those issues can be sorted by the crucified, risen Savior. And if you look back on your life with regret and you say, man, I blew it. I walked away from a marriage, or I broke my marriage vows, or I didn't train my children the way I should have, or I wasn't the way I should have been toward my parents. You don't have to live in condemnation.
Mm-hmm.
You can really find forgiveness. You can find the healing that comes from the gospel by looking to Christ. And through that same grace that is in the gospel, you can stand up then and move forward in healthier pathways.
Mm-hmm.
I have a sense of this myself, but I've seen it more strongly articulated in friends like Bodie Baucom and some others who, as we've been sitting around talking about our heritage, you know, and where we came from and our parents and our parents' parents. And, you know, my grandfather was a Muslim who came over from Syria and all kinds of issues in his life and my father's life. And Bodie, I remember talking to me one time about he and Bridget were talking, looking through their family legacies and histories. And, you know, I said, there just weren't many marriages, if any, that lasted. And he said, we looked at each other and we said, it ends here. It ends here. We are going by God's grace to make a stand here. And I want that for myself. And I want that for my children. I mean, I look at my kids. Yeah, they bear scars from a stupid father when they were growing up. There's no doubt. But by God's grace, they don't have to make those same mistakes, and they can go further and deeper into the word and do better by their children than was done by them. And that ought to be the goal.
Yeah. Well, in many ways, you know, that's where I come from. You know, I don't know of a family or a grandparents that did not stay married until they died. I don't know of any grandparents who weren't true believers, both on my mother's side and on my father's side. So that's a wonderful heritage to be a part of. And there's so many blessings and so many benefits that come from that. But even if one doesn't have that, as you say, like the Spirit of God can overcome all of those things. But that's often the ordinary means by which he works in this world and in the hearts of people whom he is going to save.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. And it's motivation. It should be motivation to, okay, let's stay. Let's stay in our lane. Let's continue to be the most godly unmarried person I can be and fulfilling what God's called me to be as an unmarried person now and having prospects for the future. Let's be the most godly husband and wife that we can be right now. Let's be the most godly parents we can be right now, most godly children we can be right now, most godly widow whatever that I can be right now, because the scripture speaks to those things and we're not left to make it up, and we don't have to be moved along a pathway by our culture who tells us that, that we can just kind of make it up on our, as we go.
Yeah. And this, this radical egalitarianism that just wants to even all things out, you know, men are the same as women, women are the same as men, parents shouldn't have inherent authority over their children, there are no hierarchies, as many of our Christian leaders have said, we want to, as Christians, we need to erase all hierarchies, which is just bunk. This radical egalitarianism, which so easily infects our own minds and our own families, just needs to completely be done away with.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, if we are going to take the Word of God seriously in this increasingly oppositional world, then you need to be prepared to be unpopular. You need to be prepared to hold ideas and to be shaped by ideas that are utterly rejected by our culture. And that may be, in fact, are being in some societies near us in Canada and other places, are being criminalized. Mm-hmm. And you need to be prepared for that. And if this is what God has for us, well, so be it. There's going to be wonderful opportunities that come in that increasing opposition as well. Mm-hmm. The last thing that we cannot do, we simply cannot just fold our hands, give up, and just move along the path that the currents are taking us in our culture. Mm-hmm. God's given us a book, and we are people that have a Savior. He's our God. He raises the dead. We have nothing to fear, and we ought to take him at his word and joyfully, humbly, boldly, very hopefully say, okay, this is what the Lord says. This is what's good for you. This is the right way. Walk in this pathway, and you'll find life. Mm-hmm. That's our hope. And so we hope you'll join us for this conference coming up in July of this year, Cape Coral, Florida. You can go to founders.org, get more information on it. And we would love to have you come as we look together with Dr. Beeke, thinking about what it means to fulfill our calling and find the joy and the wonder that God's provided for us in family relationships in a world that is increasingly trying to undermine that. Well, thanks for joining us today on this episode of The Sword and Trowel. We want to thank our Founders Alliance members, those that support us financially and enable us to produce content like that. We'd love for you to become an investor, a partner with Founders. If you want more information about that, you can go to founders.org. There's information there. Give us a call, shoot us an email, and we'd be happy to talk to you about it.